Please be seated. Her name was Mary, and it was a very common name. In fact, there were so many Marys walking around with Jesus that the writers of the Gospels are the stories of Jesus on earth, the writers of the Gospels made sure you knew which one was which. So they would talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Mary of Bethany, or Mary, the mother of James and John. But this Mary gets called Mary Magdalene. As if Magdalene was her last name or even her middle name, which it wasn't. It just meant the place that she came from, Magdala. But her friends and those who were closest to her, they just called her Mary. And there are a plethora of legends and stories and speculations about this woman stemming from the history of the church and from the wild imaginations of writers and storytellers. What we really know about her comes from those narratives in the Gospels. She is part of some of the stories about Jesus, and those writers tell us that she was the Mary from whom Jesus had driven out 7 demons. And that being the case, and without many more details, we can assume that she had led a really hard and lonely life. Whatever that kind of spiritual oppression looked like, it would have meant that she was an outcast and that she suffered. But one day came, and that day she met Jesus. And he singled her out. He saw her suffering, and he set her free from the forces that sought to do her in. Jesus saw her. He knew her, and he gave her a place to belong. He called her Mary, and her life changed. And from that moment on, she became a follower. She must have. She stayed near to Jesus because she was there at the very end. She stood there with a couple other Marys at the cross, unwilling to leave until he had died. She was with Jesus until the end, and she followed his body to the tomb where they placed him, and then Mary went home to observe the Sabbath. Imagine her sorrow and her loss, the overwhelming grief at having watched Jesus suffer and die, and then not knowing what to do next. She had found a place where she belonged, where she was seen and where she was known, but with Jesus gone, what would happen? But on a Sunday morning, she decided to take the next step, and she went to the tomb to care for the body of Jesus. She went there to observe the rites for a proper burial and to honor the dead. And in his gospel, John writes that it was early in the morning. It was so early that it was still dark outside, and Mary went to the tomb. But when she got there, she saw the stone that had been used to seal it up had been moved away. And so she ran back to find some of her friends. And she found Peter and John and told them what she saw. And the three of them returned. And John says Peter rushed into the tomb to see. And John looked into the tomb. And there they saw the burial cloths, those things that had been there to wrap up the body of Jesus. But that's all they saw. And John and Peter turned and went back to the place they were staying, and there was Mary all alone again. Not ready to go back. And now her grief has been compounded. How could this have happened, and why? There were those that hated Jesus so much that they had destroyed his body, but now they had to desecrate the tomb. They took him away. Mary had come there to show her love and devotion to Jesus by caring for his body, but he wasn't there. And John writes this in chapter 20 of his gospel. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus had his body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned, and she saw Jesus standing there. Only, she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, Mary said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." there's Jesus standing right in front of her, but she doesn't see. Her eyes are so full of tears, her heart is so bereft that she doesn't even recognize his voice until he says just one more word. Jesus said to her, Mary. And that was it. Just her name, the one thing that broke through the sorrow, broke through the confusion and the desperation and the loneliness and the despair, was hearing her name spoken by Jesus. It was her name. She had heard him say it before. The name spoken in the voice that had told her all along, you are seen, you are heard, you are known, you belong. And now, suddenly, Mary can see. She believes. She knows it's Jesus. All because of her name. Her name was so important. So what is it about a name? There's a reason we're given names. Our names identify us. Our names remind us that we are individuals. Our names speak to our personhood and our value and our dignity. Names draw us in when they are spoken in love and remind us that we're seen, that we're known, and that we belong. I returned yesterday from a week of a sunny getaway with my friends and with some of our friends and my little family. And when we were hanging out one day on the beach, my friend Michelle said, "What are you going to talk about on Easter?" And I said, "Well, Jesus." And then I said, "Well, I'm thinking about this passage from John where Jesus says Mary's name. So I'm thinking about the significance of names. That Jesus spoke Mary's name, and then in the darkest moment of her life, and she received hope. And that Jesus speaks our names, and he knows our names, and he lovingly cares about us. And then about how the name of Jesus has power. And is a name that is unlike any other name." And I said, "That's what I'm thinking about." And she said, "Well, what kind of personal story do you have?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on it." And she said this, "Well, for me, as an introvert, I picture walking alone into a party, into a room full of people where I feel like I don't know anyone. And then suddenly I hear someone say my name, Michelle. And all of a sudden I know that I'm seen and I'm known and I find this place to belong. There's this rush of relief when someone speaks my name." And Dan was there too. And Dan's a volunteer firefighter in Ham Lake where he lives. And he said, "Well, for me, as a firefighter, we all have our names on the back of our helmets. Because when we have our uniforms on and there's a lot going on, you can't tell people apart. So we have our names there on our helmets to identify us when we're suited up in our gear." And then I thought about this morning when our oldest daughter was born and Jeff, my husband, got to make the call to tell people that Petra had arrived. Petra, not even her name. Petra had arrived, but we hadn't told anyone her name up until that point. We had said we're having a girl, and we took out almost all the surprises except her name. And when someone said on the phone, "Well, what's her name?" all of a sudden I looked at him, and he couldn't even say it. His eyes, just tears flowing down his face. He was able to speak for the first time the name of this child. Our names are so important. And the Bible is full of reminders that God knows our names. When Jesus comes on the scene, he begins to invite people by their names to follow him. He says, "Simon," he says, "John," he says, "Andrew," "Thomas," "James," "Thaddeus," "Zacchaeus," "Mary," and "Martha." He called them by name, and for thousands of years, he continues to call us by our names. So that we know that we're seen, that we're known, and that we belong. He says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." He says about his people, he says, "My sheep," that's what he calls us as his people. "My sheep listen and know my voice. I know them and they follow me." Jesus knows your name. And he doesn't ever forget it. He doesn't need the name tags like we need every Sunday morning. Please keep wearing them. He doesn't need those because he doesn't forget. He never pronounces it incorrectly. Who's got the names that no one can pronounce? I met a Kara today. I bet she gets Kara. I have a Petra. They call her Petra. I have an Ami. They call her Amy. Jesus always knows the right way to say your name. Jesus doesn't accidentally call you by your sister's name or your brother. Or the family dog. He would never use your name to tease or to hurt or to make fun. Jesus speaks your name lovingly, and most of the time in a barely audible whisper. But just as it was for Mary, when you are blinded by grief, when you are staring down death, when you're peering into the dark tomb of fear and uncertainty, when you're stuck on the outside, when you're wondering what to do next, Jesus is right there speaking your name to remind you that you are seen, that you are known, and that you belong. And maybe you've heard it. And maybe someday you'll hear it. But even if you don't hear it with your ears, Jesus is speaking your name, calling you to believe and to belong, and hoping that you will hear it in your heart. He's speaking your name. Amelia, Andrew, Ashlyn, Axel, Ava, Addie, Alonzo, August, and Artis, Brittley, Beckett, Britta, Barrett, Brad, Betty, Calla, Charlie, Cece, Carter, Curtis, Declan, Dixon, Deb, Dennis, Donna, Diane, Everly, Ella, Ethan, Elin, Evangeline, Emily, Elizabeth, Elaine, Eric, Frank, and Fritz, and Gordy, and Gail, and Gerhardt, and Hugh, and Hagrid. Is there a Hagrid here? Isaac and Isis and Ingrid and Jack and Joan and John and Joss and Joyce again and again and Caitlin and Kyle and Kayla and Kaisa and Ken and Leif and Liam and Lily and Lilas and Lewis, McKenna, Maisie, Maeve, Mace and Marilyn, Mark, Nancy, Nick, Natalie, Nate, Nat, Nicole, Olivia, Owen, Paula, Phoenix, Phyllis and Peter, Ruth, Rick, Ramona, Rochelle and Rachel, Scarlett, Solveig, Soren, Sam, Sharon, Tucker, Tammy, Tony, Tom, Todd. Does anybody have a name that starts with a U? Well, then Ulysses, he's calling your name. And Vince, and Vernus, and Wyatt, and Wendy, and Wendell, and Xander, and Yvonne, and Zella, and Zach. And if I didn't say your name, Jesus is saying your name. He knows your name. He knows the names, all of the names that are written in the bulletin today. The names of the people that are so important to you, that were so important to you and remain important to you. He knows our names, and then he gives us the best name to speak back, Jesus. So what's in his name? The name of Jesus was foretold by the prophets. The name Jesus was whispered by his mother when he was born. The name of Jesus was proudly announced by his father and known by his siblings and his friends. The name Jesus was learned by his teachers and spoken with love and reverence by his followers. The name of Jesus is imbued with power. He says, you can ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Jesus' name is the only name by which we are saved. It is a name that heals and restores and releases. It brings peace and comfort, and the name of Jesus has power over death. The name of Jesus is where we're from. It's our home and the name that we carry with us. We can speak the name of Jesus in prayer for ourselves and over others. And we can share the name of Jesus, the one who knows our names. Jesus spoke Mary's name to her, and suddenly she knew it was him, and she turned to him and called him by one of the many names that they called him. She said, Rabboni, which means teacher. One of the ways that she referred to him, she called him by one of those names, something that was so familiar to her. And then he sent her off to tell the others, and she ran back to tell them. John says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. She went back and she told about Jesus. She told him about how she hadn't recognized him until he spoke her name. Hers was the very first testimony. The one to come and say, Jesus conquered death. It's over. Jesus has conquered sin. And she told her story again and again. And then others repeated it and wrote it down. And they added their stories to the mix. And 2,000 years later, we are part of this great cloud of witnesses who daily speak and pray and sing and proclaim the name of Jesus with one another and with the whole wide world. The name of Jesus, the healing powerful, resurrecting name of Jesus is available to anyone and to everyone who would speak it, to call and to believe. The name of Jesus, who knows your name and the name of every person that ever was, is, and will be. Let us pray in that name today. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. There are so many names that we call you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are Comforter and Healer. You are the Waymaker. You are Teacher. You are Guide. You are the Lover of Souls. And you are Jesus. You've given us this personal, powerful name that we can speak and pray over those that we love, that we can speak and claim for ourselves. You've given us this name to add to the names that we have. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who sees us, who knows us, and says that we belong to you. Lord, as we go into the world and into our days, sometimes we are staring down death. We are looking into uncertainty. We're not sure what to do, and we ask that you would speak our names in ways that we can hear. Speak to our ears. Speak to our hearts. Let us be reminded that you are with us always. We pray today, Lord, in this name, this beautiful, powerful, wonderful name, and ask that you would hear this song that we sing as a continued prayer as we lift up your name today. In Jesus, in your name, Jesus, amen. Please stand as we sing.
Beautiful name.